ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into another episode of the Nosebleeds Podcast. Brendan Shorey here with Brogan DeSerto and Bradley Byrne here on what Joe referred to as the Killer Bees episode, the Three Bees, here to talk some shop, talk some baseball. Before we get into that stuff, though, Brogan, Bradley, how are you guys doing today?
I'm good. Good. New series coming up for the Yankees. Obviously a rough stretch that we've gone through lately, but we won yesterday, so I'm happy. I wouldn't say the season's back on yet, but we beat your Texas Rangers, Shorey, so that's always. Three. But we won a game, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I guess it's been a little bit of a rough stretch with the Mets as well. You know, they got swept by the Guardians, which is not something I thought I'd be saying on this episode, but we'll dive into that later. But I'm actually glad it's Friday. It's been a very busy week at my internship, so kind of looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, and we're finally here, and we're kind of in an area of the season where it's almost like no man's land, where you're past the All-Star break, so you're not really doing a halfway check-in anymore, and you can see the end of season in sight, but it's a little far out to be kind of talking playoffs and teams heating up and which teams are going to be hot come October. So we're kind of in that the middle of those two areas, but there is still a decent amount to talk about. We have the Yankees, we have the Mets, who have been struggling recently, and then other various things across the MLB, which we will get into after we talk New York baseball. And I want to start with the Yankees. As you mentioned, Brogan, they dropped 2 out of 3 to the Rangers. They have not looked very good recently. But you know what the bright spot is? Aaron Judge is back in this lineup.
Yeah. Aaron Judge is back. Best player in baseball is back. And he didn't show it in the last two games that he – or last game or two that he played. I think he went 0-for-4 in his most recent game, which isn't good, which isn't up to Aaron Judge standards. But, yeah, it's a disappointing – it's disappointing in Yankee land right now. We've got so many injuries. The bullpen, all of the bullpen players that we just got at the deadline have sucked. Devin Williams is a 5.44 ERA, which has been awful. He has more blown saves this season than he had in his previous 4 seasons in Milwaukee combined. So it's not great in the world of the Yankees right now, but hopefully with the win yesterday, we've got the Astros coming to town today, and obviously whenever you play the Astros, there's some bad blood there. So I think the Yankees, hopefully they go on a little bit of a hot streak now, but we'll see. I don't know. I really don't know with this Yankees team. You've got Cam Schlittler pitching tonight, who really is just an really unknown whenever you get. He's had a couple good starts. He's had some not-so-great starts. He's has a 4.58 ERA right now, which is not great, but – when it comes to the Yankees, we need all the pitching that we can get right now. And if Cam Schlittler is the fifth guy in that rotation, that's what you've got to do when you're hitting a rough spot right now. They just DFA'd Marcus Stroman. They released him last week or 2 weeks ago. So, it's a rough stretch, but I think they'll get out of it.
Yeah, so I feel like just the Yankees have kind of been one of those like dumpster fire teams where it's like, do you fire Aaron Boone? Do you make roster changes? So for me, I think Aaron Boone should definitely be on the hot seat right now, because especially after last season losing in the World Series, you think, okay, maybe he has a little bit of job assurance. He took Aaron Judge, Juan Soto to the World Series, but the Yankees have not lived up to my expectation. I had them winning the division, and now they're borderline not even going to make the playoffs. And you talk about Aaron Judge's injury and now how he's back to full-time DH. Are we kind of seeing that, not the decline of Aaron Judge, but like kind of like the slow, like downslope, kind of what we're seeing with Mike Trout right now, where he played outfield and then had so many injuries where it just caught up to him and now he's full-time DHing. So hopefully we're not seeing that Aaron Judge. Hopefully maybe whether it's this season or next season, he can get back in the outfield, because obviously a lot of Yankee fans go to see Aaron Judge play and to see him obviously at DH and not seeing him in the field. So I guess as a Yankees fan like you, Brogan, it might be a little unfortunate going to a Yankees game and not seeing the best player in baseball. But me personally, I think Aaron Boone should be fired. I think it's time for a complete restart with the management and whatnot. So I don't know if you agree, Brogan, but I think this might be the season where Aaron Boone either should be gone or has a chance at being fired.
Yeah, I think Aaron Boone should have been fired 2 years ago
Oh,
when they
really?
didn't make the playoffs. That year, 2023, it was, they came in third or fourth place in the division. I thought he should have been fired after that. Obviously, he got back into the good graces last year when they made the World Series, first time since 2009, which is crazy because I've never seen a World Series before. I've never seen a Yankees World Series championship before. I was one when they won in 2009. So it was crazy to see what a World Series did to New York, and obviously Aaron Boone's only brought one of them to New York, a World Series game, only one to New York, and you know what? In Yankee standards, that's not normal. It's not normal just to have one World Series in the tenure of a manager. Every year you're striving to win a championship, and it's championship or bust in New York. So I think Aaron Boone goes. I'm willing even to say that Brian Cashman should go. I think they should sell the team, to be honest with you. I think the Steinbrenners have just been too lackadaisical, and they just feel like how Steinbrenner, it's almost like just another business to him. It's not George Steinbrenner built this team up with his hands, and Hal Steinbrenner's just reaping the benefits of that. And I think it's time for new ownership. I think it's time for new management. I think it's time for a new era of Yankee baseball.
Well, Aaron Boone, I think a lot of Yankees fans are mixed on that too, and I actually would agree. I think it is his time to get out of New York, and a big reason for that is you look at how he manages that bullpen,
Yeah.
especially recently, and Devin Williams, who I don't think in any way had earned that spot to come in those high leverage situations recently, and then comes in twice and blows two saves against the Rangers. Which is why the Yankees dropped two games, gave up a game tying home run to a Jock Peterson, a 2025 Jock Peterson batting sub 130, and then gives up a couple runs in a big at bat to Rowdy Tellez in game two, where the Rangers won that one 2-0. And then you also look at Jake Bird, who the Yankees went and traded for, and he has since been sent down to Triple A because of how poor he has been in the majors. But at that point, is it like, are you giving up on him already after, say, three games of for a guy you just traded for? Or is this like, can you even afford to have him come in any games now that you're in such a tight playoff race for these wild card spots where every game is so high leverage, every game matters so much? Can you even afford to have these guys coming to the game for you?
It's crazy to think that Jake Bird was traded to the Yankees, and he had a stellar first couple months. I think he was an all-star this year, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. But
I'm pretty sure. I think he was, if I remember correctly.
and then just in the last month or two, he's imploded. He's had probably one of the worst months of any reliever ever. And the Yankees traded a couple of their good prospects for him, which is crazy. Thankfully, he has some years of control, and he has some options left to go sent be sent down to the minor leagues. But it's like, why would you trade for a guy that you know has had a horrible month? Yes, Matt Blake has turned around countless pitchers before, but it's like, if you saw that Jake Bird did not do well in Colorado, yes, the inflated numbers are there, but why would you trade two of your best prospects for a guy that has had a horrible month? And I think it's all in the beard, to be honest with you. I think once he shaved off that beard, and I know that the Yankees don't have their beard policy anymore, but once he shaved off that beard, all of the talent that he had in Colorado might have just magically went away. But I think he can come back. I think if he has a strong couple showings in Triple A, the Yankees could use him back. on the major league roster soon. They have him till 2028, so he's got time. But yeah, I just think that Jake Bird, he's got to figure out what he was doing wrong in the major leagues, fix it, tweak it in AAA, and then come back up. Simple.
I feel like another important thing is that Cody Bellinger could possibly opt out and be a free agent. So do you bring him back or do you, I guess, move on? So that's, I feel like, another big thing that the Yankees have to do this winter, not just work on the bullpen and pitching and whatnot, but do you bring back Cody Bellinger? Because I, assuming he opts out of his contract, he's going to probably want either close to that or more money. So I guess that's kind of another big question that the Yankees have to ask themselves.
I think you give Bellinger like 25 mil, if
Yeah, I
that's what
think
he's
that's fair
asking
for
for.
him. I think that's fair.
I think he should be a Yankee for life. With how he's performed this season, he should just be a Yankee for the rest of his career. He's
But I
a
think he'll
Yankee.
get judged based on how he plays in October, though, for sure. Like, if he implodes in October, then he'll definitely probably make less than 25.
I think they definitely bring him back, though. If the Yankees let him walk, that's going to be the biggest mistake they make. I would say all season, but they also threw Devin Williams into high leverage situations. But that's something else. Before we move on to the Mets, I want to talk about first off, game one of the series against the Rangers. Max Fried out there, four earned runs that game. Didn't really look like himself out there. And I know his numbers as of recent have not been as good as the start of the year, but he's still that guy in the Yankees rotation. He's still that ace. And so I want, especially your opinion, bro, because you're the Yankees fan, but yours too, Bradley. Is there any worry for Max Fried and how he's been pitching recently, or do you think he is a little bump in the road and maybe just a little slump and he'll be right back to how he was to start the year heading into October?
I feel like this is just a little bit of a slump because, as you can see, the whole team's down the past couple games. It's not just Max Fried, it's really the whole team. They haven't had really a lot of good at bats, and it's just the whole team that's been struggling. So I think that Max Fried, he's in a cycle with all these other players. Yes, he's the ace, and yeah, we need that ace back, but I just think this is a little bit of a phase and he'll be back soon enough once the Yankees start winning again, and they won yesterday, and I think they'll start winning again because you can't have so many losses like this for the rest of the season. The Yankees are going to go on a little bit of a winning streak, and I just think that it's going to pick up now, and I think Max Fried's going to go back to his original and regular form.
No, 100%. I agree with that. I think although the Yankees are a little bit of downside, I feel like Max Fried be one of those players to kind of go on a tear and just help the team in general go on a little bit of a winning streak. So I think if the Yankees do, go on a winning streak, like you said, I feel like one of the most important players in that winning streak will be Max Fried. I have no worries about Max Fried. He's still a Cy Young contender, and I'm not really worried about him performing in general.
Seeing what he can do, and obviously Yankees fans hope that he gets back to that. And very last thing while we talk about the Yankees is very quickly right now they're third in the AL East behind both the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. Where do you guys see them finishing in this division?
The Yankees,
Yes.
probably second. I don't know if they can catch up. They would need a nice little losing streak from the Blue Jays. They are playing some of the best teams in the league, thankfully, over the next couple and the Yankee over the next couple weeks. And the Yankees have probably the easiest schedule left. They play the White Sox, they play the Twins, they play the Rays a little bit, and I think they go play like the Rockies or the lower spectrum of teams in the league. So I think if the Yankees can beat up on those better teams and the Blue Jays lose to the best teams, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Tigers, then I think the Yankees have a chance to come in first, but I would play it safe and say they come in second and they have the top wild card.
I definitely think it's all going to come down to that series in September when the Yankees play the Red Sox. They still have two more series against each other. I think it all comes down to who wins Friday, September 12th through Sunday, September 14th. The winner of that series is going to be second place. That's what I think it all comes down to. I think first place is out of the question. I think Toronto kind of has it locked up and sealed away, but whoever wins that series in September, I think, is going to get that two seed.
I think the Yankees finished third in the AL East. I think both the Jays and the Red Sox will stay ahead of them. And Whether they make a wild card spot or not, that is up to the rest of the season. A lot of baseball left to be played. But let's move south. Let's move down to Queens, where we almost had history a couple of nights ago. Gavin Williams, pitcher for the Cleveland Guardians, went 8 1/3 no-hit innings, 126 total pitches, and then Soto took him deep in the ninth to take away the no-hitter. Gavin Williams, I mean, what a performance from him. It's kind of out of the blue. You never really expect it, especially against a Mets team who is supposed to have such a strong lineup, but almost getting no hit, especially this deep into the season, is very impressive for this Guardians team.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of pressure on the Mets offense right now. I think in terms of like offenses in Major League Baseball, I think the Mets are arguably have the most pressure this season because obviously you bring in a bat like Juan Soto, you expect this offense to be really, really good, but they've kind of been a little bit up and down because Lindor had that 0 for 31 streak not too long ago until he finally broke out of it. And obviously now Brendan Nimmo's in a little bit of a slump. So, and as you talked about the Mets, they're supposed to be good. They went all in on this season. Like, they traded for a lot of rental bullpen guys, which I'm still questioning. Like, we probably should have traded for a starting pitcher. I really, really would have wanted a starting pitcher more than the bullpen guys, just because, you don't need to trade away all those prospects for a guy like Tyler Rogers or, well, Ryan Helsley was a really, really good pickup. I think the package that they got for him was good. But I think they overpaid a little bit for Tyler Rogers. He probably could have given up a little bit less. But I just think there's a lot of pressure in the Mets right now. They're kind of went all in on this season. And I think in the MLB, no one has more pressure to perform well than Juan Soto, whether you want to agree with it or not, because obviously you get the largest contract in baseball history. You're on a new team, and now you have bigger championship expectations than you had last year with the Yankees. So you're kind of under a lot of pressure, but I'm not really worried about the Mets. I think this is just a little bit of a rough patch for them, and I think they'll win this series this weekend against the Brewers.
Wow. I don't know about that, Bradley, but the Brewers are the best team in the league right now. And yes, as a salty Yankee fan, I do think the both baseball teams in New York are not doing well right now. But yeah, the Mets have gone through a little bit of a rough patch too. They're haven't been playing up to their standards, especially with the Lindors and the Sotos. They're two best players in the lineup, two of the best players in the league on their lineup. It's crazy. I don't know how they're playing so bad, but it's just like the Yankees. They have a great lineup, and they're just not putting it together. And that comes down to Carlos Mendoza. I mean, he's had a great season. David Stearns is amazing as their president of baseball operations. But when it comes down to looking at the numbers, they just haven't seen like that complete of a team, even though every person in the lineup, you could say, I could see them winning a game for the Mets. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their stars. You guys both mentioned it, but Soto and Lindor, both super cold recently. I mean, both having their averages drop down below 250, which kind of in this day of baseball is kind of your average hitter, sits around that 250 mark, and both of these guys dropped under it. Soto started the season batting around 230. Raised his average, and then there were Mets outcrying for Soto to make the All-Star game, which he didn't. Mets fans saying it was rigged, he should have been an All-Star. And then now Soto, his average back down, he's cold again. Lindor started off the season so hot. I don't even know what it is that happened with him, but just has been so cold recently. Two of these get big name guys in this Mets lineup just struggling big time. And I know Mendoza's messing around with this lineup a lot. He's moving guys around. He's leading off Marte. He's dropping Lindor into the two. He's dropping Soto into the three. Alonso is sitting in the four. Like, he's moving people around to try and fix this, but just cannot seem to get anything to work for this Mets offense. I mean, there's going into the season, I know we've said this. I know I've said it a lot about this Mets team, is that going into this season, it was supposed to be their offense that was a strength. And through that first 2 months, It was not. Their offense was very lackluster. But you know, it wasn't their pitching. Their starting pitching was among the best in the league. And then you have the starting pitching take a step back. And you think, okay, they're regressing to what is considered average or normal. I mean, you look at the starting rotation, it's nothing special. But then you also expect this lineup to start hitting out of their shoes. And they don't. And so now you have a problem with the Mets where you're kind of in no man's land where your starting pitching is just average, but your hitting is just average at best right now. And so they just really do not look good right now.
No, sorry for the technical difficulties. Had a little bit of mic issues, but some things that worry me a little bit is Mendoza kind of like messing around the lineup in August. I was on a nosebleeds episode last year when Aaron Boone was messing around with the Yankees lineup in August, and I kind of was like wondering like the lineup should already be set like 2 months into the season at worst. So it worries me a little bit that Mendoza is still tweaking the lineup. I really hope that he figures it out soon because I know he had Lindor lead off for 90% of the season and then puts Nimmo at lead off and then they go crazy for a few games and then it all implodes. So then you move Marte up to lead off, then you demote Brandon Nimmo to five. You have Mark Vientos to clean up sometimes. It's just a little bit of a mess, the lineup. And I'll be honest, bias aside, the starting lineup is a little bit of a mess and it needs to be fixed before September, because if Mendoza's still tweaking the lineup in September and October, then as a Mets fan, I'm going to be a little bit worried because the lineup should be set. It should be Lindor leading off. This is just my lineup if I was to construct it myself. Lindor should be leading off. Then I'd keep Soto at two. I would put Pete at three. I'd keep Nimmo cleanup. And then you got Mark at the five. And then you could put however six or nine, whether it's Jeff McNeil at six, Francisco Alvarez maybe at seven or eight, and Luis Torrens, or not Luis Torrens, I'm blanking. Starling Marte at like that six, seven, eight range. However you want to do six or nine, I'm okay with it, but that's how I think one through five should look every day for the Mets.
Yeah, I just think that the Mets, they've just, like you said, Shory, they started the season off really good, with their pitching really strong, and now their pitching's come back down to earth, and their hitting's just, it hasn't been there all season. It's been solid. I mean, Juan Soto's probably one of the best players in the league still. But Juan Soto is a 4 WAR. Nimmo is a 3.2 WAR. Francisco Lindor is a 2.9 WAR, and Alonso is a 2.7 WAR. When you're watching the Mets games, you don't really see that all the time. It's not like it's the four of the best hitters in the National League are on your team. It doesn't see show that most nights. It's the Mets struggling recently. It's the Mets struggling to get hits. As you saw on the other day, basically one hit throughout for 9 innings. And it's like they can't let that keep happening, because if that keeps happening, they're just gonna slip further from the Phillies, and they'll have a tough luck matchup against probably the best team in the National League in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and you mentioned these lineup struggles, and obviously we talked about their big three with Alonso, Lindor, and Soto, but you also got to talk about the other six guys. And there's really one spot I kind of want to focus on, that third base spot, whether it's Vientos, whether it's Ronnie Mauricio, whether it's Brett Beatty, just hasn't been producing this season like they kind of expected. I know we coming into the season, Mark Vientos had super high expectations. People were calling him a top five, top seven third baseman in the NL. But he came in and has batted horribly, has played horribly. And then Beatty had a stretch where he was hitting well, and then that slowed down and he regressed. And then you had a two-headed monster, except it wasn't a monster. It was two guys struggling at third base. And then Ronnie Mauricio gets the call up. And he plays well at first and then has since taken a little bit of a step back. And so now you have three guys who can play that third base spot, but you don't have a guy who you can go to as a consistent third baseman. So I want to get you guys' opinion here. Who do you use if you're the Mets in that third base spot? Like, how do you approach that spot come the closing stretch of the season?
I feel like it all depends on whether they're versing a lefty or a righty, because obviously Ronnie Mauricio is a switch hitter, so it's easier to, I guess, play him in the lineup. But I feel like if we're talking, are we talking about the regular season or the playoffs? Because then I feel like it's a huge
Both down the
difference.
stretch and then into the playoffs.
So I'd say for right now, whoever is having the better hot streak, whether it's Mark Vientos right now or Ronnie Mauricio, whoever's kind of a little bit more on, well, on the hot streak, I'd probably say Mark Vientos right now just because he's coming off an 11-game hit streak, which ended obviously on the no-hitter. But I still think for the playoffs, it still should be Mark Vientos just because you need that bat in there. I really hope Ronnie Mauricio is not starting at third. If he wants to play DH instead of starting Marte, I'm totally fine with that. But if Ronnie Mauricio is starting third baseman, then I'm a little bit concerned. Because although he is better than defense than Mark Vientos, that means Mark Vientos, if he's the DH, he may be in that six or seven spot rather than that five. And I really need him at that five spot. So that's why I'm kind of hoping he's third baseman. But I'll be fine with either one because the Mets have so much depth. And you could put Brett Beatty at third base as well if you want to put Jeff McNeil at second base, and then you have that massive depth at third base. I think it just depends on who's kind of having a hotter August. If it's Ronnie Mauricio, sure, put Ronnie Mauricio. If it's Brett Beatty, sure, sorry, wow, words are hard. Put Brett Beatty then. But I just think it's whoever's performing at a higher level from now until the end of the season.
I kind of agree with you, Bradley. I would say because they have so much depth, I would say either Mark Vientos or Brett Beatty. Those are I don't like Ronnie Mauricio that much. Vientos and Beatty are, I think, are leagues above, better above Ronnie Mauricio. They just Mark Vientos has 86 rate percent is in the 86th percentile when it comes to hard hit percentage. And the 75th percentile when it comes to average exit velocity. So he's been really good on the hitting side. And then Brett Beatty has really great bat speed and his barrel rate is really high. So when it comes to hitting, I like Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos. And I would say Brett Beatty's probably the better fielder than Mark Vientos. But you could either, like you said, move Brett Beatty over to second. So, I mean, move Jeff McNeil over to second and let Brett Beatty play third, or just let Mark Vientos stay there. So they've got a lot of options, which is good.
Yeah, Brogan, you just had mentioned those advanced metrics on Vientos and going to Mets games. That's what we'd hear a lot of the season from Mendoza was that Mark's getting unlucky, that Mark's making great contact, but it's going right to people in the field. And so it would be awesome to see, just as a baseball fan, to see Mark Vientos get that kind of swagger back, get that start playing like he did in the playoffs last season. Just for love of the game, I mean, it's a great time to see him when he's out there. That'll do it for the Mets, though. I want to take a step back and look at kind of the broader MLB here, and start with the Milwaukee Brewers. We already mentioned them. The Mets go to play them soon. Brewers first team to 70 wins this season. They're 14-4 since the break. They seem like the hottest team in baseball. Have recently reached number one in like the MLB power rankings. And it seems like this is almost not come out of nowhere, but it's a bit of a surprise considering how the first half of the season was a lot about the emergence of PCA and the Cubs in that Central Division. And then they kind of flip-flopped at the break, and the Brewers have started playing very well come the second half, and the Cubs just all right. And it's funny, I'll say this before I toss it to you guys. But I always see it, whether it's on TikTok, Instagram, is that the Brewers are playing to the power of friendship right now. I mean, they don't have the big names to back anything, but I don't know how they do it, but somehow they're the first team to 70 wins.
You kind of hear that every year that the Brewers are just playing on the power of friendship. The Brewers make the playoffs every year, basically, and it seems like you don't really know any of the players on the team other than maybe
Christian
Christian
Yelich.
Yelich. But yeah, the Brewers, I thought at the beginning of the season, I thought the Brewers were going to come in first. They were going to slide into first place like they do every year, but I was pleasantly surprised to see when the Cubs were leading. I was like, oh, okay, the Cubs They finally have a the Brewers have finally have a little bit of a competition in the NL Central because that division's been so bad lately. But now it's a two-horse race in the NL Central. Andrew Vaughn has been a revelation for the Brewers recently. His hot streak is crazy. His defense isn't great, but he's just like mashed since he's gotten onto the Brewers. And you've got so many hitters, 1 through 9, that just create contact. And I think that's something that both the Yankees and the Mets are lacking, where it's literally just get on base. Get singles and doubles. You don't need the home run and then the strikeout all the time. It's just they get on base, they score runs, and they beat you. And it's they're in and they're out. They're fast, and it's like how did that happen? It happens every year, and it's happened once again. And obviously, the Brewers are probably going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to win the World Series this year because whoever beats the Brewers normally makes it to the World Series. But yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy that the Brewers are constantly good, and this year they're the best team in the MLB, which is absurd.
No, definitely. And I feel like the Brewers are just that one team, like no matter how bad they play for a month, no matter how much you get blown out in a month, they always just find a way to just miraculously come back and end up being one of the best teams in the league. But I wanted to go back to the trade deadline. One thing that bothered me about the Brewers is their trade deadline. I know they had got Andrew Vaughn some pitchers, but I really would have liked to see them go out and get a power bat because I believe they're 21st in slugging percentage this year. And if you go back to the last, I believe, 13 World Series champions, only the Giants were outside of the top 50% of the league in 2012. So one thing that kind of bothered me was their trade deadline, but I was shocked about the Brewers. I actually had the Cubs winning the division because obviously, getting Kyle Tucker, you kind of want to take that next step. But I'm actually a little bit surprised with the Brewers. And Andrew Vaughn has looked like the next coming of Barry Bonds. He had 21 RBIs in his first 15 games. I actually don't think that's ever happened since Barry Bonds, arguably one of the greatest players of all time. So obviously, no one expected Andrew Vaughn to look like the next coming of Bonds. But I've been a little shocked with the Brewers. I'll be honest. And although you did say that the Met or the team that beats the Brewers makes a World Series, that sadly didn't happen last year. Even though I think it should have and. Whatever, maybe I'm just butthurt about it, but I am actually a little bit surprised with the Brewers tonight. And as a Mets fan, bias aside, I have to give them the props.
I am pleasantly surprised them as well, and I don't know what kind of voodoo magic they do up in Milwaukee, but it
Maybe
seems like
Tyrese
they just
Halliburton's in
revive
Milwaukee right now.
it seems like they just revive careers up there. I mean, you guys mentioned it. Andrew Vaughn batting over 300, OPS near 1,000 with the team since being dealt there. Another name, I saw it on TikTok and I went to double check it, and Quinn Priester, first couple years in the league, not good at all, and that's being nice. But then he goes and he's with the Brewers now, and he's with their major league team, and has an ERA sitting in between 3 and 4. And for your number four starter, you can't really ask for a whole lot more, especially for a guy who was labeled a bust 2, 3 years ago. But like I said, the Brewers absolutely like reviving careers over there. I don't know what they do. It's that power of friendship that they have where suddenly everyone who plays in a Brewers uniform remembers how to play baseball and how to play baseball very well. So the Brewers first to hit 70 wins. And before we wrap this podcast, I want to get you guys, as it's a little early, but if you have a sleeper pick or an under the radar kind of pick for who's going to win the World Series, and I'll go last. I'll throw this one to Brogan and then Bradley. Who is your sleeper World Series pick?
This is tough. It's always so hard to think that you want to go ahead this early and pick a World Series winner. But I would say if I had to pick it early, a sleeper team for me, I guess, would be the Seattle Mariners. They've come up, snuck up behind the Astros, and they just played such good baseball. J.P. Crawford on the team, so strong. Their pitching staff is amazing. And just that whole team, the Mariners, with Julio Rodriguez and everybody, I just think the Mariners have a shot. I like the Mariners.
Yep, that was my pick. I've been on the Mariners bandwagon since the start of last season. I actually had them making the World Series last year, but that obviously imploded on itself. But I have been on the Seattle Mariners train all year. I think they can honestly make the World Series. I wouldn't be surprised if they win the World Series, but I'm so glad that they finally got, they needed offense and they got two power hitters to really bolster the offense. Obviously, talking about Cal Raleigh will probably be the AL MVP. I know, Brogan, that you might disagree, but that's just my
Strongly disagree, but
agree to disagree. But Julio, it's second half Julio Rodriguez, so obviously you know he's gonna do his thing. Eugenio Suarez has been a little bit on a down slope recently. He's 0 for 8 in his last 8 at bats with 5 strikeouts, so he kind of needs to step up a little bit. But I really think the Mariners are probably the biggest sleeper team in the MLB to win or make the World Series. So I'm gonna agree with you, Brogan, to go with the Seattle Mariners.
my team, I don't know. You might not call it sleeper, but I'm going to call it that because of they haven't been getting the recognition I think they deserve recently. But I think the Padres are there. I know everyone talks about them. They always hype them up and then they get out like in the first round of the playoffs every year, which might just happen again. But you look at this Padres team and they're only two back in the NL West now behind the Dodgers. They're closing that gap. And then you look at their trade deadline and how this team was already kind of how it stacked up against others. And they traded for pitching. They went and got one of the best relievers in the game in Mason Miller, who has been, for the most part, lights out for them, minus the Lourdes Gurriel home run, which I don't know how you connect on a 104 mile an hour fastball and drive it out of the park, but that happened. And then they went and they got bats too. They got Ryan O'Hearn, one of the best bats that was on the market. Ramon Laureano, Freddie Fermin. So they went and they bolstered both the lineup and the pitching rotation. And so for that reason, I am on the Padres bandwagon right now, and I will be until they get out in the playoffs. But that is gonna do it for us here on Nosebleeds, the Killer Bees episode of Nosebleeds. We talked Yankees, we talked Mets, two struggling New York teams. We talked the Brewers, the best team in baseball right now, and our sleeper World Series pick. Stay tuned for the next episode coming next week. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.
know, I think.